Oh me, oh my. Look at that fish.
Go ahead, dude. You're the man. You took over the reins. You took over the reins of the intro. So you got to know when to come in, dude.
I didn't see you press record.
I did.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your host, Chris Vaughn. On the other line is none other than Thunder Rod himself, Josh Shrinko.
Yep. Thunder Rod, right. Throwing the mag draft, baby.
Thunder Rod, dude. That's the nickname I'm trying desperately to get to stick.
That's a nickname in high school, dude. I would have taken that 10 out Thunder of 10 Rod? Times, dude. Thunder Rod.
You'll take Thunder Rod as an adult. Over Stinko?
Over any variation of Shrinko that you could imagine. They were all terrible.
Stinko, nicknames. Cinco. I mean, Cinco Shrinko does make the
Shrinko
most sense.
Dick. You know, we got all kinds of. I mean, shrink wrap. Any variation. Yeah, shrink wrap. Yep.
Danny's sure, nickname was always Tree Stump. I think. Tree Stump or Shrinkage.
Shrinkage. I got called that several times.
Yep. Anyways, dude, we're back on the pod. It's been a minute. Lots of stuff has happened. Josh is a champion of champions. After last week's outing on the White River, he brought home the proverbial bacon with a big win in the tournament.
Laid it down, baby. You know, got to represent Wet Boy Nation. It's just, you know, that's how we. It's what we that's have we to do. Represent.
That's how you do. Dude. In the words of Zach Edey, we fucking win. Nah, dude, it's pretty cool. I mean, how many people fished in that tournament that you? Just one.
It wasn't very many. It was only like maybe 30. It was a invitation tournament because it was a championship. So I think there was only like, I think it were officially 45 people that were eligible to fish it because it's like the top 15 out of each river trail. So they have White River Trail, they have a Tippecanoe Trail, and then they have the Three Rivers Trail, which is like the Columbus, you know, southern rivers down there. So all the top guys from each trail faced off in a battle for everything.
Did you win the Angler of the Year too?
I did on the White River. Yeah, they do Angler of the Year for each series. So, gotcha. Yeah, I won that and got recognized for that right before they announced that I won the tournament. So it's cool. I get a trophy for Angler of the Year, which is what ultimately I was hoping to get. So. Yeah.
Yep. Lots happened since the last pod. I think chronologically, the first thing that we probably should talk about is our trip to PA, the Susquehanna.
Yeah, we never really did. We've been kind of keeping that results under wraps. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, overall, so we went to Susquehanna. It was, I think, the last week in March. It was overall, I think. It had its moments that it was good. It had its moments that it was pretty tough. We dealt with some ferocious winds the entire time, which made it pretty tough. And I think we really never got on like a really solid moving bait bite. I think mostly we were catching them like on bottom or with paddle tails. But it was a great trip. I mean, you know, it was a great trip. We always enjoy going out there. It's such a pretty spot. Even with the bad weather that we were dealing with, it was, you know, it's super pretty. Got to fish a lot on the big river, which, you know, we fished the Statue of Liberty area, which I had never been to before, which was really, really cool. Yeah, man, it was fun. It was a good time. We went, it was Josh, myself. We fished with the demon, and then we fished, and then Andrew went with us. So, yeah.
Now that's a nickname right there, the demon.
That's demon, dude.
I'd say that I had fun for sure, but I think you're overstating the fishing aspect of it. I think it was quite the bust given it was on the Susquehanna, and right. It was no one's fault. It was circumstance. You know, I think they had a really, like, you know, we had like a really early warm streak there in March, and it got the fish, you know, kind of going and full pre-spawn. And then it was pretty much like the day we got there, it went from like, you know, 50, 60 degree temperatures to like, it was like 20 when we got there, and the wind, when we got there late at night, we pulled up to that house and the wind was whipping around the house. Like, it was the kind of cold chill that just like, it'll put you down real fast.
It was raining and like probably low 40s most of the time we were there. So
yeah, for the high was low 40s. And I know the water temperature was somewhere in like the low to mid 50s, and it went, like, by the time we left, it was like barely cracking 40. It was like 41 degrees. So, I mean, it dropped double digits while we were there. And you know, I mean, anytime that happens, I don't care what part of the country you're at, what lake, what river, you know, it just puts those fish in a negative mood. And I think once that stabilized and it had been kind of cold for 3 days in a row, the very last day we were there, we got a little glimpse of like, oh, the fish are actually back to feeding again. But it was like literally the last like 2 or 3 hours we were there. Yeah.
Last 2 or 3 hours we were there, we finally decided like, hey, let's chuck a spinnerbait for a while. Cause I mean, the last day Andrew and I fished together, we had a pretty good day. I mean, size wise, it was pretty good. I mean, I think we caught 4 fish over 19 inches or something like that. So it wasn't awful. But you know, the last day within the last 2 hours, I was like, dude, I'm chucking spinnerbait. I don't really care anymore. Chucked spinnerbait. Literally had like a 20 incher come out from behind a boulder, smash a spinner bait, immediately snapped it off. Complete meltdown. It was a disastrous meltdown. There were F bombs. It was a complete, I don't think Andrew's ever been full witness to one of my meltdowns, but he got a front row seat.
We could call him bitch fits, you know?
Yeah. BF.
I've been privy to quite a few of those. I have my own
over the years. Yeah, you have been. I mean, but you know, they're rare. They're not super common, but I'm good for a couple of them a year, I would say. You know.
Yep. Rods have been thrown. I've seen that a couple times.
That was in my younger years, yeah. Before I started buying nice enough rods to not throw. For sure.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, dude, we're moving forward a little bit, but getting stoked up, dude. I bought so much gear for this trip that we've got coming up. We're all amped. We leave next. Well, you leave on a week from today, don't you?
Yep. Tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to leave Friday. Alex took the whole day off. I don't know what time, but yeah, sometime on Friday. We're going to fish on Saturday. So regardless. Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty fun spring. I think around here, you know, we're not going to recap every single one of our trips. I did, you know, a podcast on that tournament that I dropped yesterday. So kind of recapped what the fish were doing. We're right up on the spawn right now. In fact, I know there are some fish, you know, semi on beds. So, you know, but the pre-spawn around here has been pretty good. Had some windows, you know, I did an episode on a trip that I went to Sugar Creek and crushed them on. You've had a couple good trips. You know,
I've had a lackluster spring, but it's just been timing wise, like the best part of the spring to fish was like, right after we would have gotten back from the Susquehanna. So like I didn't get out very much because we were gone fishing, you know, so I laid low for a couple weeks, and then we got completely flooded out, and you know, so it's kind of been, there have been some windows. It just, I haven't really had a, I definitely haven't had a day yet that I've went out and just absolutely crushed them. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Hopefully coming to fruition next week when we finally get our big trip going. So,
I mean, the best day I've had this spring, it was a day that, you know, I saw on the weather kind of calendar. I was like, got to get out today. This is the day. Right. And I invited you. You obviously couldn't go, but I went out solo because I was like, man, you know, spring is one of those. It's very volatile. You'll have, and it's kind of obviously volatile. You know, you'll have the rain, the wild swings in temperature. And like when you get 3-4 stable warm days in a row, like on the tail end of that, and then you got a front coming in, like that's the time to go. So if you don't get out in those windows, you kind of just, you know, sometimes you'll run into, you know, moody fish. And you and I went out on, was it last week?
Last week, last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played hooky and
super,
went out.
Super windy day again, of course.
Yeah, which I think springtime wind is more common than not wind. But sure. I don't care about that. I think it's just we had a little bit of a cold front come in. You know, it wasn't a crazy, it was like a day where it's just kind of like, yeah, we weren't sure if it was going to be good or not. And it was,
it was okay.
Yeah. We caught some fish, you know, I think we started out actually pretty good. And then it tended to, we had just a big lull in the middle of the day, you know, and then
kind of clouds blew in, got super windy.
Yeah. It was a weird day. But we caught some fish. We had 218s. You know, I don't know. We probably caught.
Dude, you've been a big mag draft guy. You've converted, dude. You're a full blown swim bait guy.
Now. I ordered a swim bait rod.
I know you did, dude.
So here's my yourself. I have a plan. So I have a I have a plan.
You've become a complete. You're gonna start skateboarding now.
Listen,
you're gonna start.
I'm
just taking one rod, dude. I'm going swim bait.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I have a particular stretch close to home. You know, it's a jet stretch on the south side that I feel like we've had some decent days on it. We have yet to unlock the like true potential of that stretch. I feel like it has some humongous fish. And in fact, you said you hooked up with one of the biggest fish you've ever seen, and it suits itself. It's different. It's a lot of slack water. It's got a lot of wood in it.
I caught a 19 there tonight. I went fishing.
Oh, did you really?
Tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Ruby caught my daughter caught like a 16 inch walleye. I caught a 19. So
that's yeah. Can't beat that.
No, it's fun.
Well, either way, my plan, I'm going to master the stretch with swim baits. So I'm going to go like only throwing swim baits, like on, I don't know about all year on that stretch, but like, it's going to be like, I'm going on days where that's all I'm throwing. Like, and I'm just going to throw big baits. And I think that I can draw some huge fish out doing that, especially since I can put the jet on it. I'm going to be, I'm not going to go full swim bait everywhere else, but that stretch, dude, I'm going to be putting my swim baits in every little nook and cranny on that stretch.
Yeah. So. You're going to start listening to Weezer constantly. Going to get some like a chain wallet and like some
chain wallet.
Dickies, some like oversized straight leg Dickie shorts. Some Vans shoes, and you're just gonna start tossing swim baits, dude.
I'm fine with that, dude.
You're gonna spend $258 on a single bait, more than I spend on a rod.
I'm definitely getting a swim bait set up. I ordered a 7.6 heavy swim bait rod.
So, I actually have a swim bait rod, so I'm not gonna talk shit on it.
So. Yeah, so I think mag drafts is kind of like it's the gateway drug for the swim bait world. So because I'm like having so much fun with that this spring, I'm like, dude, I need to freaking throw swim bait with some more. So I'm gonna get in the glide game. I'm gonna get into you know, some bigger baits were
some yeah, you're gonna buy like some this, custom orders.
This is like one I bought a while back that I'm really looking forward to throwing. But I mean, realistically, man, I mean, the swim bait thing I think can be a kind of like fly fishing where it's like you're doing it to a fault, you know? It's like, right. Oh, I'm throwing that. And then there's part of it where it's like it excels at certain things.
You're such a natural born contrarian that you will not fly fish because you don't want to do, because I do it. You won't fly fish because you're like somebody else is already doing fly fishing. So I have to do my own thing. So I'm going to do swim baits, swim bait. Maybe. The continuum, the spectrum of fishing. I got to tell you, swim bait guys and fly fishing guys are nut to butt.
Oh, I know.
On the spectrum.
I know. I fully believe that. I don't know that I'll be a full swim bait guy, but I'll tell you what, this year I'm going to be doing some. I'm going to do some swim baiting, bud. So
yeah,
we're going to see how it goes. Yeah. We're going to see how it goes, but
I support you and your alternative fishing lifestyles.
It is funny, dude. When I was at that Tennessee expo and we were at one of the, it was the Buka booth. And I was talking with one of the guys there and he was like referring to like fishing with like normal stuff. He's like, yeah, I fish conventional sometimes. Like what? He's like, yeah, I fish conventional some. I was like, well, you mean like swim baits, not conventional fishing? Is that what you're saying? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. There's swim bait fishing and then there's conventional fishing.
Yeah,
I was like,
conventional fishing, yeah.
I was like, holy shit, these guys are really, really carved out their own little niche, huh? They're like,
it's like LGBTQIALDC, you know? They're like tacking on their own letters, dude. We're, hey. I love it.
A swim bait, dude.
I like that.
So anyways, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I will say on the spring trip, I'm afraid of musky up there. Like I feel like if you throw like a nice swim bait, you could easily attract some big musky, and they're gonna
just
slice
use bite wire. Just use bite wire on your stuff.
I don't know. Probably should. I should use. I think if you use like real big fluoro, it's supposed to.
Yeah,
use
like just tie on leader of like 100-pound fluoro or something. It'd be fine.
Yeah, I might do something like that. But either way,
I personally hope that you do that. I hope you fish a lot of swim baits when we're up there.
Yeah.
So I can mop up behind you because there's no way I'm gonna be in front of you with your Hobie. You're just gonna be zooming in front of me. So if you're catching a swim bait, I'll know you're not catching anything. So I can just mop up behind
you.
Hey,
son, dude. I just won a tournament on swim bait. So don't be knocking it, bud. Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, there's a draw power to it.
I know. I support you 100% in your alternative fishing lifestyle. 100%.
All right. So let's talk about this trip. We haven't.
It's all love.
We were supposed to do a planning session here, and we haven't done that yet. So are we getting together for a planning sesh? Chris Von Law, what's your, is it LLP? Is that your, like, on the end of your law practice? Law?
Yeah, it's LLC, Limited Liability Company.
Oh, I thought it was LLP for a law practice.
Limited Liability Partnership. No, you can do anything. You
can
do.
Can I get an appointment? LLC, LLP. Can I get an appointment? Can you fit me in there, bud? Fit me in.
Yeah,
we can. Do a little.
I can fit you in anywhere, dude. I'll fit you in right now. Dude.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to, you know, and this is a. I think we get a message from a lot of people. I feel like this is a skill set where we're elite at this.
I gotta say, the fact that you're calling us elite at planning trips, the year we're going to the Menominee where we got absolutely death marched through 30 miles of river is crazy to me.
Dude, that's, we got, you know, that's 6 years ago. How crazy is that?
We're old men now. I would love to do
it.
I guarantee you, if we did
like 6 years
ago, we recreated a photo of that trip, we would be very depressed about how. Age
how we look
would become, yeah. Well, guaranteed we would look at that and be like, oh wow, all right. That was 6 years ago, and I can see every every 6 years, every year of it, I can see it all over my face.
So, no, well, either way, this is a redemption trip, dude. Because we kind of fucked that trip last time. Like, it was, we caught some fish, but it was like done before we had really got sophisticated with our efficiency of how much fish we were catching during those trips. So I think this is an important trip because we're in range of a couple rivers actually. And I think you're going to fish a little bit of the Big Lake. That's what I hear.
So I'm going to try. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try
Green Bay.
Jeremiah has zero interest in doing it. So
he's like me. I'm like, dude, I don't want to do that.
I'm the only one that has any interest in it. So I don't know if it'll end up happening or not. I might have to take somebody else with me, but
well, Jeremiah, I mean,
like,
you might
know, man. He's like doing the polite. Jeremiah's doing the very polite. No, like being like, I don't know, man. Maybe if there's time, we should try that. Possibly doing one of those.
Well, ask. I mean, the audience. I'm sure there's people we have listening that are around the area. Chris is wanting to fish the mouth of where the Menominee River dumps into Green Bay. Yep. So if you have any info on that, and it's a good place to go and maybe spend a half a day, let him know, because he's thinking about stopping on the way up there to fish it. Baiting. So
do a little jerk baiting, we'll get it going.
So. Yeah, I don't know much about that, but yeah, so we're doing the Menominee River. We got a house on the river. In fact, while we're on this, I'm gonna check the water temps, bud. Kind of see what we got going. So go ahead.
I can So last Wednesday's trip. Oh no, I remember what I was going to talk about the Pennsylvania trip. The nothing eventful happened on the way out to the river. The trip, the drive itself, very normal. I drove, so it was just almost no incidents, almost no problems with the drive at all. We get out there.
am going to tell the story on the podcast, dude. There's no chance you're getting out of that.
One of the best stories about fishing I've ever heard in my life was Josh. Josh was telling me about fishing with Randy Long, who's an absolute demon. And he was telling me about how they were fishing, and you know, we're all so like, you know, we're all so heavily into the smallmouth thing. Like last night Jeremiah called me and I was talking for like 30 minutes and I realized that he hadn't said like more than a couple words, and I was just talking about fishing the entire time. I was like, I just looked, I go, dude, I'm so sorry. Complete bass burgers. I had a complete bass burgers flare. So an outbreak. But Josh had a bass burgers moment where we finally got some fish patterned on the last day we were there. And the wind was absolutely howling. They're smashing fish, just catching them on like every cast. Like 40 mile per hour.
The wind was so bad. So the boat was spot locked facing downstream, and the wind was blowing upstream so much that the spot lock was holding us against the wind, not the current. Right. And it was almost blowing me off the back of the boat. Like I lost my balance twice standing on the back of the boat from these gusts. It was insane wind. Yeah. So anyways, go ahead.
So they're catching fish like every cast. They're like completely dialed in, which we did not ever get to that stage. I mean, we got to the point where like on that trip for me, where I was like, oh, I'm pretty confident. Like we're going to find some fish here, that kind of thing. Josh was like, they had them dialed to the point where they were like catching fish every cast, like fully on them. Randy's like takes a phone call and he's like talking about fishing and he's like narrating the fishing as like while Randy's fishing, controlling the boat, catching fish, narrating how Josh is catching fish, and just the idea. Josh is like, here I am in doing my favorite thing in the world, like fully into it, just so immersed in this moment. And then I realized like how incredibly like Yeah, I don't know. I don't exactly remember what you said because I was laughing.
Randy is so next level fishing. The dude's fishing. The wind's blowing. It's so chaotic. Like I would never even get on a phone call during this. It's blowing so hard. It's cold. You know, it's like catching fish, and I'm like giggling like a little schoolgirl. Randy takes a call. I think it was from Joe Raymond. They're talking on the phone, and Joe Raymond has a reel for sale. So Randy's negotiating buying a fishing reel on the phone while we're catching fish. And like every time I hook up, I'd be like, yeah, Josh has got one. He'd stop in the middle of negotiations, and he's like, yeah, so I'll give you $270 for it. And then they're like negotiating on the phone. I was like, dude, this is the most, this
the
is
height
like
of fishing.
This is 18 levels of fishing all packed. It's like 18 multiverses fishing, and we're all into one moment right here, dude. It was so much fishing. You just couldn't even stand it. And Randy's like, said something to me about like, you know, oh, is this too much? I was like, no, dude. I was like, but I'm on overload right now.
That's what I'm like. I was in sensory overload. It was almost could not compute, dude.
It was fun though, dude. That was the best moment of the trip for sure. So,
oh yeah, yeah, we had some good ones. It was a great trip. So, I always look forward to, those out of state trips. So, and I actually took a little hint from Randy, and I mounted my license plate on my trailer to my wheel well, so I don't lose it anymore. So
what now? What did you do? Did you put over your wheel well?
Bent it over my wheel well and drove a bolt through it from the wheel well out. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. Because I've had two license plates.
Randy's got all the tricks, dude. He's got all the tricks. We had fun on that trip.
They do like this technique of, which I still don't quite understand. It's like they fish off the back of the boat. We talked about it last time that
it's
we
a
were
PA
out there,
hang, dude.
The PA hang. They throw off the back of the boat and they just let the current like swim a jerk bait. And Josh actually caught quite a few fish that way on the trip. But I don't know. It's not I have not mastered it. Let's just put it that way. I was getting my shit kicked in for like two straight days doing that. So
it was okay. I don't prefer fishing that way, but you know, if you're catching fish, it's one thing. It was cool. I mean, there was definitely some cool moments.
That Statue of Liberty area is really, really cool. That was really
neat. I mean, there's a lot of places in that river that are like real intimidating. That's one of them. That's like, it's like a lot of current. It's a lot of rocks. There's a lot of just stuff everywhere. It's what are you laughing about?
Josh, like the last day we were like going to do this area that had like a class 3 rapid on it. And we're going to run our jets through it. And he was like talking this spot up. He's like, dude, this is like late at night. We've been, you know, drinking and whatnot. And Josh goes, I don't mean to freak you out, but tomorrow's run. Just get ready, dude. It's going to be the most intense. He's like, I don't know, dude. I was like,
I don't want
to
go.
It got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like the way he's like, I thought I fucking broke my boat in half last time I did this. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like this sounds pretty intense. So the next day we show up to the spot and I was like, dude, I'm going to, you know, that Randy and Josh were messing around on Randy's boat and I don't know what they were doing. And I was like, I'm going to run up to the spot just to like scout it out. Like ran up and looked at it. I was like, this is nothing. Just like motored through it. It was like, I mean, there was almost no like problems at all. So
well, I almost wrecked Randy's boat in it.
Yeah. I was going to say,
it wasn't nothing, but
there the second time and Josh, like he like goes to like go through the rapid and Randy's like, no, go through the other chute. So Josh tried to correct to go through the other chute and his boat started sliding like right towards this rock and, got pretty close to wrecking Randy's boat. How great of a story would that have been?
Oh my God. No, it would have been the best chaos. Story. It wasn't as dangerous as what happened on the way there. So we got to tell this story because there was
you tell your version of it and I'll completely listen.
I've measured on Google Maps. I know how big area was.
You're insane that you did that. That's insane.
Listen, here's what happened. There's no debate about it. So we're driving. Anybody who's been to Pennsylvania knows like their roads are the worst. Like their interstate system has this. It's like almost like outdated, but it doesn't have exits like a normal interstate would. You'll end up like on a road for like 14 miles. There's nowhere to turn around. And they have a lot of tolls there and stuff. So anyways, we're getting a little tired. It's getting towards the end of a, you know, 9-10 hour drive. And we're just wanting to get there. You know, we're just like, we just need to get there. And Chris blamed it on me that he missed an exit. He missed an exit.
Zero navigation.
I was supposed to be navigating, even though Google was navigating for him. But regardless, we miss an exit, right? And we're like, it starts to reroute us. And it's like quite a ways away. It's like an extra, we're tacking 15, 20 minutes onto our trip at this point.
I think it was 25 minutes that we were tacking.
Yeah, we're like, oh my God. So we get to the first interchange where it tells us to reroute. And it's literally a U-turn on the interstate. We're like, what the hell? Like, that wasn't even a place to turn. That wasn't an exit. So we look ahead and like, oh, there's another one of these U-turns coming up. And it's in like 3 miles. Well, what we didn't know is that there's a tunnel that goes through a mountain right before this U-turn. So we're going through this tunnel. It's coming up. And the way these tunnels are spaced, there's a tunnel. And then there's like clean, you know, there's like air in between another set of tunnel, and it's probably 300-400 yards in between these two tunnels. It's a very short, like it's a short opening. Mm-hmm. We're on the interstate, we're going 70 miles an hour. It's night, there's not a ton of traffic, but there's traffic. There's semis, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm like, we're going through a tunnel. I was like, oh well, there's no way we're going to slow down here and turn around. Well, Chris makes it, keep in mind, we're pulling a boat. We're going 70 miles an hour. Chris whips his rig off the road and slams on the brakes.
Right.
In between these two tunnels. And we're not stopping. We're going. We're headed right for this guardrail that is like U-shaped around the next entrance to the tunnel. And I probably did sound like a little pansy. I was like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And we're going, like I'm
with my wife driving through a parking lot.
Oh my God.
No, it was not like that. I'm telling you, I had my feet against the floor. I'm hanging on, dude. We're going right for this guardrail. And to Chris's credit, the dude makes a all-star maneuver. He takes his foot off the brake, which has got to be the most like unnatural thing in that moment to do, because you know, if your wheels are locked up and you're trying to steer, it's not gonna steer. He takes his foot off the brake, so the wheels start rolling again, whips it over in the emergency lane. There's like just enough of an emergency lane to fit the car, hits the brakes again. We skid past the guardrail, probably like, I don't know, 20, 30 feet into this emergency lane and come to a complete stop past the U-turn where you're supposed to turn. Semis, flying past us.
I actually saw a couple of semi drivers tip their hat to me.
I was like, I cannot believe that just happened, dude. My heart's pounding. I got like sweat on my forehead, dude. And we reversed it backwards, you know, 60 feet or so, and did the U-turn and went to our destination. So almost killed us, basically. Very close. My algorithm on Instagram has shown a lot of dash cam videos recently, and there's a lot of scenarios that were much less dangerous when they materialized than that scenario. somehow we got out of it, but hey, props to that maneuver because it was a good one.
Speaking of high stress maneuvers, last Wednesday when we went fishing, we had a little incident in the raft. It was
that was pretty good.
We had a moment where I mean, it wasn't super warm. It was like 65, maybe 65 or 70 degrees that day. Super high winds, like 40 mile per hour winds. Okay, so we get to this spot that we fish all the time. It's like this creek mouth. And we drop the anchor on the raft and we're catching fish. Josh caught a really nice, it was like an 18 and a half or 18 and three quarters, like a really nice fish. I caught one.
It was fat.
We start to like, oh, hey, let's relocate. Cause we're kind of spinning. Like the current's not strong enough here. We're kind of getting pushed back into our anchor. Josh actually got a crankbait stuck in the anchor. So we're like, oh, well, let's like relocate. So we try and pull the anchor up. Well, the anchor is like stuck on bottom. Like we literally can't get it out. We like pulling as hard as you can on the rope, like maneuvering. We get turned sideways. And apparently while we were turned sideways, one of the oars popped out of the oar locks. We didn't see it right away. So, you know, we're in like nine, maybe probably 8.5 feet of water. I mean, we're in like deep water, super fast winds. The water temperature is like 50s, high 50s, probably, you know, we're in 8 feet of water. The oar is floating away like fast because the water's up. It's like floating fast. It's like probably like 50 yards away before we even spotted it. And we're like, we can't get the anchor out. We're like stuck. We got one oar. Thinking with these winds, like we're never going to make it out of here. So I just immediately strip my life jacket off, toss my phone on the raft and dive into the water. And I'm like, oh, well, it's probably not that deep. Wrong. It is the deepest possible spot on that river. And I like try to touch bottom and I'm like, I go over to my, like above my eyes. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I have to like swim to the bank, run down the river like a quarter mile, probably closer to like a half a mile before I finally am able to like catch up with the oar. And the oar is floating into like a strainer and like right at the top of this riffle. So I like have to like run across the river, dive across, like I dove full extension and like grab the oar before it like floated in, before it went over the riffle. And then spent the rest of the day freezing my ass off.
Yeah, which we were pretty close to the end at that point. We probably had like a couple more hours. But you did do a full Pete Rose into that tree, dude, to get
Johnny Hustle, dude. So.
it was good. It was impressive. I was like, I was telling Katie about this when I got home, and I was like, honestly, I would have probably just been like, yeah, we'll go find it. Like, it'll be stuck somewhere. Like, we'll go find it. But we had a deadline to be back home because your son had a soccer game. So I think there's a little urgency there on your end. You're like, yeah. But I was like, yeah, dude. Props to him, dude. And I like, I rode the boat over to the edge and I'm like, I don't want to get my feet wet. I was trying to
get my feet wet. He made me pull. Once I finally got back to the boat, he like made me pull the raft up on shore so he didn't get his feet wet. I was like, wow, dude. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, I can start to see the swim bait side taking over with that one. I don't want to get my feet wet. It was fun.
So in relation to our trip, the idea behind, so we normally go Memorial Day, right?
Yep.
That's almost always spawn for that kind of area up there. So they're, you know, basically 3 weeks, you know, 4 weeks behind us. So the idea is when we go up there, we're going to be fishing like we're at home, you know, early to mid April, which is kind of like money time for us. That's like the most fun time for us to fish. I did look at the water temperature just now. It peaked at 52 today. So On track, bud. On track. The highs are looking to be in the 60s all until we get there. So it should be pretty good. Like, it should be, it's shaping up to be almost exactly what we hoped. So I'm thinking
should be good.
I'm thinking, you know, they're going to be smashing moving baits. You know, we're going to be finding them in that pre-spawn sort of thing. You know, it, I think it does come down a little bit of what's the weather like when we get there, but we're going to, me and you will be there for almost a week. So we should have at least a portion of the time we're there. It'll be, you know, good weather. So,
yeah, hopefully, I mean, anything can happen for sure. So I'm hoping that we don't just get absolutely dumped on every day, but
we're going to get dumped on some, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, up there, it's a little different. I mean, we don't have to worry about the river mudding up and stuff. As long as we're not at, like, flood stage, we'll be
okay. All right, pick us in. Who you calling for the Colts to draft? Got called on the podcast here. I'm going to say...
Did Brock Bowers already go?
Yeah. I'm going to say... I can't remember his last name. Dallas, he's a pass rusher from Alabama. I bet you that's who we take. Dallas... Can't remember his last name. Let's see who it is. I'll bring it up whenever.
Dallas Turner.
But yeah, I think that's his name. Dallas something. But anyways,
I don't know. I don't know enough about college football to really have any strong.
I just know opinions. From playing dynasty fantasy football that, you know, some of the incoming guys. But anyways, so. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that's what happens. We got 8 guys going. We got a cabin on the river. We have jet boats. We have rafts. We have kayaks. We have the whole shebang going up there. We are going to head over, I think, and fish the Wisconsin River a couple times, which is about an hour and 45 minutes away from where we're at. So, yeah, man, I'm pumped. I'm psyched. Like, I need this trip very bad. I'm ready just to cut loose with the boys and, you know, have us a good time. It's,
yeah.
If it's not, overdue. I hate to say it, I can't like, you know, compare it to family stuff, but it's usually the best week of the year. I mean, it's pretty freaking fun.
It's the most, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I'll say that. No, yeah. It's definitely right up there with some of the rumpus time, dude. We don't get a lot of rumpus time as men in our late 30s now.
We don't get a lot of rumpus time. I saw I think it was Barstool Sports. Barstool Sports is like, why do we stop doing sleepovers when we become adults? They're like, bring back the sleepover, dude.
Bring them back, dude.
Yeah, what's the deal? Why wouldn't we have?
Why don't we,
dude? I know, that's what I'm saying, dude. Bring back, because that's basically what that trip is. It's like
it is a sleepover,
a week long sleepover.
It's so much fun.
It is so
Smalley much camp, fun. Dude. We're staying in. Yeah, well,
that's what we need to call it, Smalley camp, because that's really what it is, Smalley camp, dude.
Hell yeah, so, baby.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing day, that. Gym one day we'll like have 65. So. Yeah. I will anyways. I don't give a shit, dude.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. The people at my work have really been pushing me to, they've given me the nudge I needed to really just enjoy it guilt-free. Because I feel like I'm either going to go postal or go on a vacation. So, you know, it's nice. I'm looking forward to getting away. Putting on that away out of office message and just absolutely going, yeah, it's going to be fun, dude. Doing my favorite stuff, some of my favorite people. It's going to be awesome, man. Looking forward to it. But anyways, guys, well, thanks. Oh, what stuff have you bought for the trip? What's like the big, other than the swim bait rod, what's the big ticket item?
I have bought a lot of stuff, not just for this trip, but I've bought quite a few things. Recently, I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, I have so much crap that I don't really like have anything I need. The swim bait rod's probably going to be the one that I'm like, you know, new kind of stuff. I've been doing a lot of maintenance on my boat, trying to get those little, like, you know, things. I got my oil changed. Dude, I don't know how many guys run jets that listen to this podcast, but, you know, I try to sharpen my impeller every so often, and I've noticed my jet is kind of sluggish, like, mm-hmm. recently. And I was like, man, I know I sharpened that thing in the fall. And I took it out. It was thrashed, dude. I don't know what I, like, went through. Like, it had just, it was, like, really bad shape. So I took it out and was sharpening it. And I took the angle grinder to it this time to really get a nice edge on it. And I was looking in my jet intake. And, like, so where your jet, not the intake, but where the actual water comes out.
The nozzle.
So there's the exhaust, right, is in the middle, and then your water goes around that exhaust. Your water actually, like, pumps around that exhaust.
Right.
And I had a huge rock blocking, like, 25% of my nozzle.
I have them in there too. I can't get them out.
Oh, I got it out, dude. I freaking took a pair of channel locks and, like, just wiggled it until, but I was like, it was. My top speed wasn't as, like, sacrificed, but it was, like, my hole shot, dude. I was having trouble getting on plane. I'm like, I never have trouble getting on plane. I'm like, yeah, so I'm pretty sure that was it. But yeah, man, I got a whole bunch of, you know, put a fresh coat of paint on it. You know, I got it all cleaned up, got my lithiums.
You put a fresh coat of paint on your boat?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I put a fresh coat of paint on it, and I got my lithiums all set up, so. Yeah, dude, should be a good trip. I don't know how much we'll run the jets. I know where our house is kind of on the top, at the top of a flowage, which is kind of like a little lake there. And there's like 6 or 7 miles of river we can run up into to the next dam. But yeah, I think generally we kind of, at least last year, we left the jets around the house and just kind of tied them up around the house. And then,
but there was awesome fishing around the house. So,
oh, yeah, it was.
We never have to move it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we would go do, like, floats, you know, with, like, the group. So
I think I kind of see doing the same thing, honestly.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. The guys are, you know, I think with just kids and schedules and stuff, people are getting there at different times. We used to try to all leave together, but that just obviously is not possible now. Yeah. So we have, you know, guys leaving. Me and Dano are leaving the earliest. I think you and Jeremiah are leaving the next day, and then we have guys kind of getting there at different times. We have the house through Saturday. I'm not staying till Saturday, but I think there might be a couple guys that fish an extra day after we leave, because there's some guys getting there, like, Wednesday. So
who's getting there Wednesday?
I think Dustin and Andrew are leaving Tuesday evening.
Whoa.
So Tuesday after work. Yeah. So I would hate to go up there and just fish, like, 2 days. Wednesday, Thursday, leave Friday. That would suck. But it's not bad. It's only like a 7.5 hour drive. So way closer than Minnesota. So
for sure.
Should be a little more.
Well, let's end the podcast here, and we can maybe talk a little bit.
Guys like listening to this stuff, dude.
I don't think so.
No, they do. Yeah, they do. Trust me. We get messages all the time. They like hearing about our trips.
The four people that still listen to our podcast are tuned out 25 minutes ago. This episode's been a stinker. It's been a disaster. We're out of practice.
So. Nah, no, it's good. What's your prediction for how many 20s are coming out of this trip? Because I think
there's going to be one single 20.
Ooh, one?
Yep.
But I think you vastly underestimate, one, that we're going to be going to multiple rivers. Two.
Okay, you're right. I'm going to say five. It's going to be five total.
Okay. I'm going to say 11.
Okay, that's probably that's where I hope it lands. I hope it's I hope it's more than that.
What's the most we've ever had? It's probably close to what, like 30
mm-hmm.
before. Yeah. Yep. I feel like this one is it's you know, not quite the trophy fishery that the upper Mississippi is, but it's one of the coolest rivers I've been on. It's awesome. Yeah, and the last time we did it, dude, we were trapped. We were fully trapped, dude.
It wasn't ideal.
No. So yeah. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. Hopefully we'll have the gumption to actually record some while we're there, like we always say we're going to do, but never do. So I would like to get some full live wet boy sessions going. So I think
for sure, dude. The hype is real. Looking forward to it. So
seven days, baby. First car leaves, first wagon leaves. So we'll see you guys on the flip side, dude. Come back changed men, dude. We'll be fully refreshed for.
I'll be fully zenned out. I'll be fully zenned. So
yeah,
all right, buddy.
Good, dude.
We'll talk to you later. Thanks everybody for listening, and as always, free the fighter.
Free the fighter.